not that I had, it's not that I had any concerns over what was being said. My concern was a lot was being said but not explained, and it was almost dangling things in front of people without really giving any explanation that they could get a handle on. And I think a few people have responded to that video. I mean, I hesitated in putting it out, in fact. And so it was last Thursday, so I'd taken a while to do, say, well, am I going to put it up or not? And actually, I thought, well, yeah, it was genuine. My concerns were genuine. I'm not concerned in anything that was shared from a point of view of whether I believe it, just the way in which things get shared, and then almost like it tantalizes people without actually giving them anything. Now, I'm not saying that some of those things may have been explained further on. I've listened to a few sessions of that and didn't find any actual explanation of some of the things that were being said, but what were your things over?
Well, the mystery that seems to be being presented of this illumination that's coming, that it's going to be of the like of discovering, the other side of the Earth, that it was round, that it's going to be like a Columbus type of discovery, and that I think alluded to that it was going to be coming from space, or that space was going to be where maybe that illuminated. It was, like you said, it was. I know I've listened to Jason for years, and I've always been very blessed. I mean, he's got such an amazing heart. He's had experiences, that have really made him a forerunner. And so he could be coming out of that, maybe he's getting a greater, I'm getting feedback, I'm getting a level of revelation and understanding that maybe others don't quite have yet, or at least haven't grasped it the same way. And so with you, what I was going to ask is, as a pastor, this is where I'm coming from, as a pastor, someone that is, caring for people's hearts, I just want to know, because I'm trying to prepare our family, our faith family, for what's coming. That they're learning to hear from the Lord themselves. They're learning to not be just relying on what I have to say, and not even rely on me to even disciple them. That God wants to disciple them, wants to grab their hand. But I also want to make sure that if things are going on, which obviously there's a lot of things we see in the natural realm, that you can make all kinds of speculations, and you can line it up with past dispensational stuff and all those things. And I think still people get caught up in that. But what I want to help people get ready for is if something's on the horizon, that's going to just blow a lot of Christians away, and cause pretty much, I'm sure, the same kind of questions and stuff when they found out that the Earth wasn't flat, that a discovery that was saying, are we, because there's a part that talks a lot about the Vatican, and that they're looking for all this extraterrestrial type of life. And I mean, actually having basically seminars and conferences, and they just had in February an astronomy class where they're teaching priests how to start studying the stars. And so it is a very odd thing, I think, for people to see happening. And I guess that's where part of my question is coming from. Because he did mention the Vatican, actually. He said that word. So I thought that was interesting. Someone trying to call in?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Oh, it's David Martinez. Yeah.
Should maybe try to add him.
Yeah, I'll send it out again.
So I'm gonna go mute. Did I make sense what I was trying to say? I guess what I'm
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
He kind of danced around all of those, so I'm just trying to see
Yeah.
what your not spin or anything on, but what you think. And
Sure.
to me, I think a relationship is what we need to continue to pursue.
Oh,
And for me as
absolutely.
an individual, that's great. But when you're also caring for hearts, you know, I want to make sure that I'm a little bit ahead of them if, you know, something really yeah. crazy is about to happen, because that's what he alluded to, I thought.
Yeah. It was sort of tantalizing people with sort of throwaway lines. I mean, Ian Clayton does it a lot sometimes, just to provoke people's reaction and to challenge people that there's more. But if you're going to say some things and just leave it hanging, a lot of people will maybe go away and pursue something. A lot of people will just be confused and like, I just don't understand. It's just too weird. It's too out there for me. You know, everything is frequency and vibration, and therefore the planets and the different galaxy and everything that we're in does exude frequency. And does that have an effect on us? Well, you know, from a negative side, you know, the moon has such an effect on the Earth that it causes tides. So there's a natural effect that a body has, as same as the sun that we go around. It's like where we get the gravity and everything else that keeps us going around in orbit. So there's a natural X thing. But actually, is there something spiritual that is affected by those things? Because some of them are affected negatively. Well, if a third of the angels fell, and each star had an angel, and there's 400 billion galaxies, then there's a lot of angels. So there's a lot of potential fallen angel activity that could have a negative effect on us. I accept that. But I don't, it's not something that we should fear or be concerned about. You know, at wherever we are in our journey, God will give us revelation of what we need to deal with if we need to deal with it. And that's that, because that comes out of relationship. You know, where someone has still not dealt with some generational issue, whether the stars or the moon affects them is pretty much a moot point if they're still affected by some familiar spirit that's operating on the inside, or a mindset which blocks them from the revelation that they can engage God intimately or intimately and be in relationship with Him. So there's degrees of where the importance of things is in the grand scheme of things. And as people pursue God in transformation, if there is anything that's affecting them negatively, which may be a frequency, you know, even this planet of being tethered. I mean, Ian Clayton is teaching about being tethered to this place and having the our soul connected here in such a way that it limits what we can do outside of that. Totally accept that. And do we need to be set free from any frequency which is a negative frequency that we're connected to? Because a lot of people would say we need to be in tune with the frequency of the planet. My view is we need to bring the planet into in tune with our frequency, which is in tune with heaven. So although we can be separated, we then need to be reconnected from a governmental position so that we can bring government from heaven to the earth and to our solar system and galaxy and whatever else. But right now, actually, we need got enough to do on this planet. You know, and I think this is the key. We're supposed to bring dominion here. So worrying what's going on in the Pleiades galaxy or, you know, on Alpha Centauri, you know, to me, although some people may well be called to engage at that level, not most of us aren't at this point in time. And getting people who probably have never heard anything like that, who go to a conference and then they get that stuff brought out, can almost detract from, look, actually, you need to engage God in your own spirit. You need to be able to engage heaven. You need to get into Eden. It can just put it sort of out there. You know, my personal view is I do not believe that there are any populated planets in the universe with other people. I'm not saying that there aren't other dimensional beings, because we know that there very clearly are, whether they're angels or fallen angels or other things. And I do accept that there are other dimensions that are looking to have a negative effect on ours. I don't believe in ETs. In the way in which, you know, E.T. has come from another planet, from somewhere else. I believe God started everything here so that we could actually take from here the dominion of the garden out into our solar system and into the created order, whether that be other galaxies. But I don't think we need to be too concerned about that right now when we've got such a mess on our own backyard. And it's like, let's deal with that, and that will help us then to then take whatever we do here, get the earth back into its right condition with heaven, and then whatever God has for mankind to bring that out, that we can do. But there is some dominion and some subduing to take place, because that's what Adam were told to do, because Satan had obviously fallen in the first created order, and God had re-established it with Adam and Eve. So there was some thing that happened which is still in effect. But Jesus has obviously undone everything that Adam did so that we're not subject to that, so that we can actually have dominion and therefore change it. But again, people aren't going to get into any of those things without first having an intimate relationship with God where they can hear his voice, see what he's doing, get a mandate on a daily basis, find out how to rule in your sphere of government before you're thinking about, you know, even talking about our city or our nation or our continent before we've got our own government established. So I'm not saying that any of that doesn't exist or isn't something that we will come into, and that God is unveiling mysteries without a doubt, you know. And I do believe, you know, I've seen some of those mysteries that are hidden in darkness, and I can't describe them in words that people would understand right now, but they will come. But that's no different, in a sense, if you go back 200 years and you brought someone, time jumped them into today, they would struggle with virtually every word that we use to describe a modern convenience, cell phone, you know, laptop, computer, car, airplane. None of those things would make any sense, even though they might understand the English word, but they wouldn't know what it meant or how to use it or the effect. And I think, you know, go 20 years in the future, there may be a whole load of things that are taking place there that we right now don't have a full grid for, but we will when we get there, because we'll have grown through it. And so there may well be things that are not the same as they are now, but we have the responsibility of bringing those things from heaven to earth, and we also have the responsibility of making sure that we have dominion and are not subject to anything negative. Whatever source that comes from, we don't need to be fearful or in any way feel inadequate to deal with whatever's going to come, because we will be able to be equipped to deal with it all, because that's what we do as we mature as sons. You know, and right now we may be operating in lordship and being given mandates by God, but eventually we'll be operating in kingship. We'll make our own mandates, you know, in joint heirship with Christ in that sense. So yeah, so there are things I just don't sort of resonate with some people's style, you know, in that type of thing. And you know, I would say the same for Ian at times. He says things which are throwaway comments that leave people wondering and then probably not connected to whatever else he's saying, because they're just sort of so wondering what he meant, you know. And if you're going to say something, be willing to explain it. That would be, I don't want to say something without giving some sort of explanation that people can catch hold of. That's just, but then that's where I come from. It's my style. It's not other people's style. So I'm aware that people do things differently. But you don't want to get people in any way fearful or in any way pursuing something which is independent of God. You know, if things are going to happen, who is going to be responsible for them happening? Well, if it's things that God is going to release, well, he is. So he's certainly going to not release anything he says without actually bringing a prophetic edge to it, because he said he didn't do anything without revealing it through his people. Now, he may be using someone like Jason to reveal some things. I'm not saying he isn't, but I don't particularly feel at this point that's a big issue, you know. And you know, without talking to the guy and say, well, are you talking about 1 year, 5 year, 10 years, 50 years? Because people are also talking about, okay, the houses in the constellations cycle every 2,000 years, you know. So okay, in the year Jesus was around, it was the time of Aries, and then, you know, now we're in the time of Aquarius, and you know, 2,000 years' time, there'll be something else. Well, I haven't got time to wait for 2,000 years, to be honest. It's like, I want to see some things happen now. So I believe we will be responsible for those things, not subject to them. So I'm not subject to the constellations in the heaven. They're subject to me. You know, in the degree of where I have got government towards it. And so I'm obviously pursuing some of those things myself and looking at the mysteries that are hidden and looking at engaging the Chancellor's houses. But it's all to do with so that we will learn how to govern more effectively and bring heaven to earth and to establish heaven on earth the way we're called to do. So that's sort of my take on it. You know, I thought some of that might get a little bit, you know, out there, you know. But, you know, but I have to say, there was nothing that he said that caused me any concerns in terms of whether I believe them or not, just the way in which they didn't really give people a full handle of what he was on about, you know. And the terms of the prayers of being untangled, you know, I have his prayers, you know, I have all those things. That's nothing new. You know, I have Ian Clayton's prayers in terms of untethering. You know, there's nothing new in that. It's just, do I feel I need untethering and untangling any more than I've already done? Not at this point. You know, so I'm going to focus on what God shows me in the revelation that he gives me. And I would encourage everyone to do that. Go with the revelation that you have at this point in time and pursue more, but don't go out there trying to get things which may not have any real relevance to where we are right now. You know, that would be my encouragement in it. So,
in a way, it's like getting a cart before the horse in some instances for individuals. And there's no, I know for me, over the last year and a half, I hear certain things at times, and it can be daunting trying to, you know, even think of getting to that point, or sometimes trying to focus to get to that point, and you just come out of rest. And it seems like above and beyond religion, the other thing that the enemy tries to do is get us out of rest, get us out of striving in our own strength, and which is, I guess, can be a form of religion. And but you know, when you hear things like that, I'm sure others have. It causes, like, sometimes for an anxiousness, you know, not necessarily fear, but it's like, okay, what's going on, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. In a sense, we have to come out of relationship, and relationship is rest. That will lead us into our areas of responsibility. And I think sometimes, you know, I wonder whether some people, I mean, who are called to that level of responsibility need to share with others who aren't at that sort of way, which can produce an anxiousness, which some people will never, ever really need to engage in, because it won't be what they're ever called to do. You know, I mean, I don't know whether all of us will get to engage the Galactic Council with a court case. I don't know. I'm preparing one. But then I've been mandated to do so. I don't know whether everyone will. Maybe eventually we all will have access to that. But you wouldn't, you know, it's like engaging someone who's operating in sort of our sort of kindergarten and just learning the letters and the numbers with someone who's going to university and doing a master's degree or a PhD. It's like they would all use the same letters, which makes words, and the same numbers, which makes formula, but 1 + 1 = 2 is very different from a quadratic equation or some other, you know, quantum physical equation. You would never be able to engage in that when you are just learning 1, 2, 3 or ABC. But they're effectively the same tools that you use later on, but you wouldn't deal with them now. And I think for those people who are maybe operating at a level of, you know, PhD, master's degree level, to go and talk to people who are operating at high school level, at the level of expecting them to understand that, maybe not the wisest thing to do. Because either it will get people, well, I might as well give up because I'm never ever going to be able to do that, or, oh, I'll try and do that when I haven't even got the basics. And we need the basics, which will enable us to do everything. Because in reality, if you can count to 1 to 10, you know, or 1 to 9 with a naught thrown in, you can count to a Google, you know, which is one with 100 noughts behind it, you know. So it's exactly the same thing. Same with letters, you know. You know, the cat sat on a mat is just what you learn when you first start putting letters together to make words when you're in infant school. But later on, they will make any combination of word that exists. But you still have to learn to do the basics. And we're teaching people to do the basics so that when they're led into whatever God is calling them to do in their destiny, they will be able to do everything they need to do. Because no one is going to be able to engage in some interplanetary type government without having first governed their own soul, you know, which is where most of us have to start. You know, let's get our spirit in rulership in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. And that's where we start, you know. And if we're not doing that, then the level of authority we operate in any sort of sphere is going to be pretty limited, because it's going to be fleshly, you know, and that's not going to bring much fruit, you know, because the flesh profits nothing. But if we can bring our soul in alignment with the Spirit and that in alignment with God's Spirit, then we can then begin to administer our own family, our own church, our own town, you know, in whatever governmental sphere we've got. But it all comes from the basic premise. We need to understand that it comes out of relationship and flows from that place of rest. You know, and anything which causes people anxiety, you have to question where, because perfect love doesn't bring any fear, you know, and so anxiety shouldn't be a result of someone sharing something which is revelatory. I'm not saying it wouldn't provoke or encourage people to like, wow, or I don't understand that, but not to be anxious or fearful in any way. Because that shouldn't be a result of anything that God brings. You know, challenge is absolutely, but not fear or worry or anxiety about it. So I, you know, it made me wonder, you know, what the purpose of it was, really. You know, but I'm sure those people who were there, many of them were blessed, and blessed them. You know, I listened to it. I engaged with the prayers at the end of it, and it was like, okay, did I feel anything particularly? No, but if I'm sure if something needed to be done and I'm open, God will do it, you know. You know, am I, you know, I never really felt tied to some other planetary system anyway, so it didn't really relate. But you know, but I have dealt with a lot of stuff previously, so I'm you know, it may not just be didn't relate to me at the time. Anyway. So here we go. All right.
So. Good morning, Mike.
Hiya.
Just relating back to, I got in on the tail end of this, so I'm not sure where you came from, but I remember years ago when I got a set of tapes from Jack Hayford, and on the front of it, it was on deliverance, and of course in the 80s that was a hot subject. And he said to the men in my church that had been with me 5 years. And I couldn't grasp that because I was just starting a church. I couldn't conceive 5 years. I mean, you know, I want this now. I want to do all this now. Yeah. Well, obviously, after I've pastored so long, I realized the wisdom in that, and that's exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. There's some things you give to people that have been in the way or, you know, on the way with you for a while.
Yeah. Absolutely so. And I mean, there's stuff that I don't share with anybody here other than the closest people in the bench of three or whatever, because I don't want to confuse them. And a couple of times I've just, in my excitement and exuberance, shared something and just seen people's eyes glaze over. And it was like, okay, I'll just leave it. I'm just not going to go there because it will be pointless. You know, it's not to say that I want to do that because I want to hide things to make myself feel more important or keep secret knowledge, but there you have to be wise in giving people what they need. And even though, you know, you obviously have to go ahead and you have to forerun into things. You can't go so far ahead that people can't see you. You know, and when I first encountered heaven in this way, one of the first encounters I actually saw with mountains was in a vision where I was going up through a valley on horseback, and people I knew in the church here were behind me, and we were going up this valley, and I got to the top and started to look out into, wow, what's out there? And God said, right, now turn around. So I turned around and no one was there. You know, and it was like, ah. And he said, I said, well, where are they? He said, well, where do you think they are? So I went back to the bottom and there they were. Some people trying to get on a horse. Some people were on two on one horse. You know, it was just like this whole mixture of things going on. And God said, right, you need to go at a pace that they can see you at all times. And then they'll feel secure to follow because they'll know that you're going somewhere, but you're not so far ahead that they've got no idea what you're doing. So I always choose to share with different people at different levels. You know, what I'm sharing with the general church sort of population would be slightly different or at a level than I've shared with people who wanted to come together to explore. You know, and our whole purpose was we're coming together to engage some in heaven and practice and engaging, and that's different, you know. But it is wise to ensure that you're not giving great big chunks of steak to people who need milk, you know, because they won't be able to chew it or digest it properly. So it's better to give milk and then progress. Because milk is still absolutely vital. We still need the basic foundations of all everything, you know. And eventually, when I did in this vision, it was a really, you know, first person in this vision, and I get to the top, you know, and I'm on this horse, and the horse, now I sort of recognize, you know, the whole symbolism of it because I've engaged it much more clearly. I sort of took off and went up into the atmosphere, and then I'm sort of looking down on these mountains, and that's the first time I saw, you know, our church mountains. First time I'd ever any even understanding of the fact that there were mountains in the heavenly realms and they represented authority. That was the first time I saw it. Never heard it before that. You know, went up there, but was clear, shown what they were, and it was like, oh, okay. And then shown what was operating on them, and not all of it was very good. You know, so I then had to say, okay, how do we deal with that? You know, but I realized that would come as a result of following a path and a journey, and you know, and I shared that vision 5 years ago, almost, you know, in 2010, I shared that vision, and have been, you know, have learned a lot of patience along the way, because I saw these mountains, and it's like, right, okay, we got these spheres of government, let's get operating on them, thinking this will go really easy. We've been shown this. I'm sure people are just going to go and find this stuff out. And, you know, we've now, last weekend, last Monday, we actually invested people in all the seven mountains. So we've got benches on all the seven mountains. 5 years later, you know, it's like, if I'd gone at the pace that I would have wanted to go on, you know, I would have been on all those mountains, you know, ruling and probably wearing myself into the ground, but God wouldn't let me on them. And that was the first point. They're not yours to rule, so you can't go on them. So you have to equip other people to go on them, and that's taken a long time. You know, even, you know, in our situation, it's taken quite a long time. It's taken a year probably to get people from the point of engaging the mountain themselves, you know, their own personal mountain, into actually being on them and now engaging the church mountains and sharing that. And it's pretty awesome. You know, I mean, we had an amazing actual encounter. We had everyone here in an evening, and we all went into heaven, and we sort of took people onto their thrones and got Jesus to invest them. And just as we were like commissioning them into it, there was this huge peal of thunder, like out of the blue, absolutely shook the building. And I'm like, whoa, this is a bit, okay, is that a coincidence? Whatever. So then that was with our bench of seven, making sure. And then we went on to the seven mountains, and just as we did the same thing, this second enormous peal of thunder comes out. And everyone at that point was like, okay, now God's saying something. You know, this is actually something this is significant, you know. And it was everyone just laughed, you know. It was just like, wow, that is amazing. And it was something just, and I sort of shared, you know, the whole thing of thunder from a Hebrew perspective, you know, is, what is it, a glorified voice in fire, which is what thunder is. So I said, okay, receive this as a glorified voice in fire with God bringing his endorsement on your being placed in these positions of authority, and remember it. Remember that this is no different than heaven opening and Jesus, you know, and God speaking down over Jesus, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And some just thought it thundered. You know, they didn't hear the voice, but they heard the thunder, which was God's way of affirming Jesus. So I thought, that's pretty cool. You know, I thought, that's great, you know. Be wise, I think, is the key in what you share with people. You know, and sometimes you just have to then go further. You know, recently, and I've gone further with our leaders in our local area, simply because God authorized me to do it. I've been holding back for quite a while. And, you know, God, one day we were having a meeting, and that morning God said, right, now is the time. You have to be expressing something about this and challenging. So I did, you know, which was good. You know, not, you know, a bit challenging for people, but good. In the, hey, if God had authorized it, then this was the time. You know, and, you know, I'm believing that God will use that to call people and draw people into a deeper intimacy with him to walk this stuff out. But, yeah. Okay. So, any other questions or anything? Anything you want to share, testimonies? Feel free. Now everyone's quiet.
Well, I'm just waiting for someone. So, I have a question. For probably about 4 or 5 months, I've been having an experience that periodically, just sometimes it's just spontaneous in my heart. Other times it's like I choose to go there, but it's this is the only engagement really with any kind of mountain that I know of at this time, but it's sometimes I'll be standing on this mountain in my heart, and sometimes I'm just screaming at the top of my lungs. It's just it's like a cry out of my heart of desperation or you know, maybe even sometimes it's frustration. I don't know. It depends on kind of what's going on. And then other times, you know, I have in my heart taking communion there, you know, just in the spirit. And then there's times that I'm just up there and I see myself dancing and spinning and stuff. So, but it's odd because it's not like I always purpose to go there, but there's times that I can sense that that's a place to go. Hmm. So I just thought I'd get your input on that. And maybe how do I maybe take that further? You know, because it's like I can even right now I can picture myself in my heart standing there, but I just really don't know where to go from there, if I should. Yeah. If that makes sense.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, it's really, some of it is what you think of it. Is it a mountain in my own heart? My spirit is a mountain. You know, I think it's a representation of God's government, you know, and that's who I am. You know, so when I engage in mountains within my own heart or within the realms of heaven, it's always about my position of government. So if you're thinking it is the garden of your heart, or it's in your heart that this mountain is, then that is different from being in your spirit or being in the realm of heaven. And it's like, you know, where are you? And that would be something to pursue. If it is your heart, then and you're standing there, is there a throne there? And you know, is this about you bringing the rule of God from your spirit to your soul, you know, to your heart, so that they are beginning to come from the same place of government and peace and rest. And the fact that sometimes you're sort of frustrated and sometimes, you know, is an indication that I think that the likelihood is that God is looking for you to establish your spiritual government within that soul area and then begin to progress from that and have dominion there. And that your spirit is actually having dominion within your own heart. Now, I know it sort of separates the things up a little bit, but then that's what we do to start with. We're learning to understand who we are and how we relate, and our soul has somewhat functioned independently of our spirit, and now we're looking to bring them back in an integrated way, so that, you know, we can see our spirit in complete, you know, submission, if you like, to my spirit and the Holy Spirit being one and bringing the rule of God. So where do you go with that? I mean, I think it's the same thing with everything. It's like meditating around with God and seeking, okay, God, can you show me what the next step is? You know, if this is an area that needs to be brought under the dominion of God and the kingdom, then what is that area? Because it's, you know, did you see any other mountains? Is it always the same mountain? Does this mountain actually represent the government within your soul? Because that's what mountains represent, government. So what is ruling? So is there an area that needs to come under spiritual authority within your soul, which may be resisting? Because one of the other things Jesus said is sometimes we have to speak to mountains and tell them to move. You know, that's what he said, you know, in Mark 11, you know, speak to this mountain and tell it to be shifted. So is there something here that needs to be brought under a higher level of authority because you're standing on it but not actually ruling from it? And that would be because if there was a throne there and you were sat on the throne and you had a scepter and a crown and a mantle, it would be like, okay, no, I'm in this position of authority. But it's like almost like you're standing there, not seated there, because we're seated on a throne, not standing in front of it. So that's some of the symbolism that may well be around this. You know, to pursue it, you know, that's what I would do. You know, I would, engage with Jesus. I would personally, for me, I would open my first love gate, you know, yoke myself to Jesus and basically ask him to go with me to this mountain and teach me what I'm supposed to do, you know, and just, you know, ask him to show me, you know, is there something here that needs to be brought under your lordship? So in that way, do I need to repent or surrender something afresh or anew? And ask him just to reveal the process, and I think he will. You know, he will, because this is sort of more than one occasion, and you're feeling called to go back there, you know, again, it's like it didn't sound like it was a total place of peace. You know, shouting and, you know, it's almost like wanting to bring it into a place of peace, you know. Whereas, you know, when I engage on my mountain in terms of my own spirit, it's like it's just in a total place of unity with the presence of God, and it's the place of my throne's there, but I invite him to be enthroned there, and I sit with him, and he's teaching me how to rule, you know, and so he's teaching my spirit how to rule in my soul. But, you know, there are things to do, you know, when you're engaging your spirit gates, it's like, okay, you know, what do you need to engage here? If it's a place of bringing something into submission to the lordship of God, then, you know, I would engage reverence and first love, reverence and the fear of God, okay, and engage in that, so that will lead and direct me into knowing, is there something here in my soul that needs to come into alignment? And, you know, so I in sort of pictorial language, I would invite Jesus to walk through my reverence gate with me and apply that to that area of my soul and give me revelation of whatever it is. Because ultimately, you want God's government in all of your life, and the same, you know, it's the lordship of Jesus, the kingdom, whichever way we want to talk about it, the kingdom of God is within us, but it's within our spirit and needs to come out of our spirit and engage our soul and body and around us so that we're living in an atmosphere of God's rule. But if there are things that are blocking that, or that we're not fully in governmental authority over within our soul, then we have to find out what it is and then deal with it. But I'm sure if God is bringing this up, and you know, then it's part of your journey of discovery, and it may well be that this is the way that you will be able to help people deal with, you know, their soul gates from a perspective of actually bringing the Lordship of Jesus into this area of your life. And you picture it as, this is an area of authority in me, or an area of ability in me, which needs to be surrendered, or it needs to come under the government of God rather than my own individual purpose. Because I found a lot of my soul areas were independent, because that's where all my needs were met, and that's where, you know, my soul got its self-worth and value independently from God and the Spirit, and therefore I had to deal with all those things. You know, as I dealt with each gateway, that was part of it. You know, where I'd use some of the things in my soul independently, like my imagination or my conscience, you know, my mind, my reasoning, did I have mindsets that were things that I used for my own ends, you know, and I had to deal with all that. But ultimately, it will be a sign that, you know, God's government is coming into a greater dimension. And the more familiar you are with dealing with mountains there, the easier it will be when you engage mountains in the realms of heaven, because they're just the same authority places that you are governing in. So you govern your soul, you govern the realm in heaven and the seven mountains that you've got. They all come out of basically the same principle. Which, you know, God is revealing to you, and I'm sure, because it will be helpful to others, that you will be able to help deal with the same issues. I mean, does that sort of make sense? Or?
Yeah, it does make sense. For me, when you say invite Jesus, do you mean like go before his throne of grace? However I picture engaging with the Lord, right?
Well, it would be, you know, for me, that would be my place of engagement is that the kingdom of God is in me. Therefore, there is a place where God rules in me, in my spirit, because mm-hmm. he comes into my spirit and the kingdom comes there. So that's an area of his rule. But if I don't invite him to come in to my spirit and to express the kingdom there and come under his lordship there, then it's still just within this area. And, you know, Revelation 3:20, he's knocking, saying, come on, let me out, you know, or let me in, whichever way you want to look at it. It's like, so we have to open the door from our side and let him in, engage with him there. And, you know, that's really the whole modules of First Love, and the next modules are all about that. You know, it's all about, I'm a dwelling, I'm a mountain, I'm a gateway. The kingdom is in me. I need to surrender. Then I need to engage the river of life. I need to engage the yoke of Jesus. And I need to engage the seat of rest and government with Father and with Jesus and the Spirit. So my personal thing in this is that is where I engage on a daily basis. And then once I've invited the presence of God and I've engaged in intimacy there, then we can go to the garden of my heart. You know, it's like I am some, like this morning. You know, this morning I'd opened that first love gate. I was embracing Jesus, and it was like I felt an overwhelming desire to say, come on, we need to go to the garden because I just need to lie down. Because yesterday I had a really busy day. It was like a whole load of things were going on, and I felt I need today to start this place in a place of rest. So yesterday I felt at the end of the day, well, that was a busy one. I don't want to start the day with the memory of yesterday, so I want to come from a place of rest. So rather than just going and doing some stuff, I think, no, I'm just going to go. And we just lay down, we chilled out. I started asking him, you know, why did I feel yesterday was a, because it, you know, yeah, there were four hangouts yesterday and there was a lot of stuff going on, but why did I feel that that was somewhat overwhelming rather than, hey, this is, I just carry on and then go home and, you know, have an evening. But so I asked him and I lay down and he was able to share with me some perspective on why yesterday was different. And then from that place of rest, I was then able to deal with that. And I went to the throne of grace in the realm of heaven, and I sat on his lap there, and I got a new perspective on things, which changed. So today, I've been equally as busy, and Zahra, but I feel totally different, you know, and I'm, you know, and I'm not in any way feeling like I did after yesterday. And there's things like that. So that's where I would encourage you to, you know, open the first love gate, invite him into fellowship with you, and then say, okay, let's go to this mountain so you can reveal to me what I'm supposed to do here, you know? And it's just, you know, and you can say, well, okay, do I need to picture all that? No, not in, but you obviously have pictures of it because you have an encounter where you can experience it. But the reality is you engage by faith and it's like, okay, I'm going to invite him by choice and we're going to go and then I'm going to listen to him. Whether that's in a vision or whether that's still just the thoughts that are in your mind, doesn't really matter. It's the fact that you're going to get revelation that comes by you engaging in intimacy and seeking his insight, because you're basically saying, you know, you're my shepherd. I have some needs here. So I'm bringing them to you in this specific way about this specific subject. And so, see what happens.
So would you say then he's fulfilling the I am of who he is, because I need him as my counselor, I need him as my instructor in this moment, and I need him as the one that's going to teach and lead me. And so because that's the need in my heart, I can then engage with him with my imagination, with my thoughts, and then he meets me in my expectation of faith in my imagination and becomes everything I need him to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's just a relationship in which you're looking to focus that. So fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Okay, well, I know he started it. I know he's going to finish it, but I also need to engage him all the way along the journey between the end and the beginning. So I'm fixing my eyes on him to behold him in that way. And, you know, again, I go into, I think, in the whole first love thing about the I am, you know, who he is, you know, and engaging I am so that I can be, you know, like him, conform to his image, you know, which means that who he is actually applied and outworked, and I get the revelatory experience of that in reality, you know, and whether I have a full-blown vision of it or whether I'm just sensing it or whether I just get the thoughts of God in my mind, doesn't really matter. It's the perception and discernment that you receive as a result of that which will bring the change and transformation, because you'll have revelation. You will know something, and it's the truth that you know will set you free. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, so he will lead you into that truth. And of course, the Holy Spirit also is part of that process. But you know, I engage with them differently depending on what I feel led to do. You know, and over the last months, you know, I've spent much more time individually with each of them, spending time developing my relationship with each, because that's what first love is. You know, it's engaging with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Father, and learning to understand and who they are and recognize them and recognize their characteristics and fragrance and frequency, whichever way you want to put it. But it comes by up close and personal. Hey, I'm going to focus this on this directly, because I think that's what you're being led to do. But yeah.
Well, thank you. That helps a lot.
Okay. All right. Anyone got anything else they want to share? Kristen is all quiet again.
Yeah, it's a good time. I mean, I spend half the rest of my life talking, so it's a good time to still listen. It is. It's amazing how I go, oh, those are really good questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good. Good. Thank you for asking them, Mike. Tis good. Tis good. Your how you brought forth from yesterday today, not dealing with the things that happened today, that was really, really good. I'll throw a scenario out. So yesterday I was cleaning and doing stuff, and because I kind of take Monday and Tuesdays off, and I went into my bedroom and is noticing, geez, there's a lot, look at that mold, it's all over my window. And so I kept cleaning and I kept cleaning, and when the day was done, I realized that we had a mold infestation, and I had to move all of the dressers and the furniture. So what you were saying, so literally my husband and I, we had to move our bedrooms now in the living room. And but when I was going, oh, that was such a good piece of, because, you know, there was a lot that happened yesterday, and now kind of like, now you call the insurance, all this stuff, and I go, that was really helpful to see, and I'm going to go, immediately we're done, I'm going to go engage that to make sure that yesterday's concerns, that I'm getting more of, you know, how God talks about that, how he's answering that.
Yeah.
That was a good piece of.
Yeah, and I think it is like everything starts afresh each day. And if we carry over yesterday's concerns into today, then we run out of the resource that we have for today. You know, and the same thing about worrying of what might be tomorrow. If we bring that into today, then we run out. You know, because there's fresh mercy every day. So there's enough for us to do whatever God's calling us to do today. But we must be in that place of peace and rest to experience that and therefore benefit from it. Otherwise, we will run out. And yesterday, at the end of the day, I felt I'd run out. Fortunately, I didn't have anything to do in the evening, which is not usual. Mondays are usually a busy evening, but I had a free evening. So I was able to spend that with my wife, and we just basically chilled out and did nothing much, just ate and had fun. You know, so, but I knew that there was something that got to that point where I'd run out, and therefore there was something that caused me to run out, and therefore I needed to identify what that was, and therefore today I was not gonna, you know, I was not going to start off my day with a things from yesterday or any other day that was gonna do that. So it is engaging that fresh relationship every day. You know, daily, take up the cross, follow him. You know, and I'm only responsible for what God wants me to do today. You know, and that's all I have to focus on. And so if God shows me to do this today, then I'll do that. If he doesn't want me to do these other things that maybe other people want me to do today, then I don't need to be feel I have to do that. I only need to do what I feel the Father wants me to do, and that will bring me to constantly live in that place of rest and peace and flow out of it. Even when I'm really, really busy, actually, what is busyness? It just means I'm occupied doing the things that God wants me to do. So I don't even think of it as being busy. I just feel of it, hey, I get to fulfill my destiny today. So, and I don't, you know, sometimes, I know I've talked to people about this recently, thinking, well, I'm having a night off. You know, and so I, you know, we've been discussing this. Okay, well, a night off from what? You know, what are you having a night off from? Because there's an attitude. We dealt with a spirit in a court case called Miser, and there was it was called a Miser spirit, and it was about restricting everything. And so we had to challenge each other in terms of finances, but also in time, everything. You know, where would I be a miser in my attitude to my life? And so we went through this whole court process, really challenged it, dealt with it, and then all of a sudden it started then to challenge people, oh, that way of thinking, that's completely wrong. And I was chatting to someone about it, and they were saying, God just really challenged them. we're really busy. Why do you think you're really busy? What does even that attitude mean? Well, that means you resent doing stuff. So what are you busy doing? Why are you resent doing the things God wants you to do? It should bring joy and fulfillment doing the things God wants us to do. If we're doing a whole lot of things that God doesn't want us to do, then that could actually make us feel weary and heavy laden because we're doing stuff that God hasn't asked us to do. But if our attitude is, well, this is my time and I've got time off, what have I got time off for? From God? From the kingdom? Even if I'm having a nice time relaxing with my wife, that is equally something that God wants me to do and enjoy, and that is no different from, okay, I'm doing some leisure activity, well, I've got time off from what? You know, it's all my life. You know, the whole thing flows out of relationship with God, so I have to be careful about my attitudes, and we discovered this, you know, in looking at it. People's attitudes were, well, we're really busy, so we resent doing this. And when you boil it down, it was like, okay, well, what are you doing, and how much time are you spending on this and this? And they were like, oh, I'm not really busy, am I? I've got a bad attitude about what I am doing, so I'm not giving it with joy and gratitude and thanksgiving and freely giving what I freely received. So the enemy is using that to make me feel weary what I am doing. And it was a challenge, you know. And I think this really, again, just flows from this place of rest and making sure that we start a new day with new resources, flowing with new life, you know, drink the river of life, that living water, that spring, every day. Because that water, I mean, when you sort of go back to Ezekiel 47 and look at the water that's coming out from under the threshold, it's just dribbling a little bit, trickling. It isn't until you open the door that the whole thing flows out. Most of us have survived on a trickle of the river of life, not the fountain or spring of living water, which is described. You know, and I love some of the things. Isaiah 12, I think, talks about drawing joyously from the wells of salvation. I just love that. I just think it's so descriptive of what we have in our relationship with God, to draw joyously from the wells of salvation. And because that's where it comes, flowing out of heaven in my spirit as a spring of life, of joy. You know, John 4, you know, I've drunk living water, and it becomes in me a spring of living water that I can drink. But if I don't drink it every day, then I'm going to actually feel thirsty and dry. So it's my responsibility to drink. That becomes the source of life and my energy to be able to do everything that I'm doing in God and never run dry, you know, because it's always flowing, you know. And okay, it may start off ankle deep and I can splash around in it and have fun in it, but it gets deeper and deeper and deeper the more it flows through me, so that it becomes rivers that are flowing through me and around me of life, you know. So I have rivers of living water flowing from my innermost being through the garden of my heart and out through my life, to create that life around me that people can come and they can drink, because I will be a source of refreshment to them. If it's stagnant in my spirit and doesn't go anywhere, or I never open my first love gate and there's a trickle of it that really isn't enough, then I've got not an awful lot to let flow to others around me, and people come near me, they'll find, well, he's pretty dry and got much to give. You know, so I need that source of life to be able to give it away. You know, I wouldn't be able to give a lot of stuff away if I didn't receive it in the first place, and I do every day. You know, I want that life and that river flowing. I just need to release it to flow deeper and deeper until it's out of depth. You know, and the wonderful thing about Ezekiel 47, it's like, what does it do? It brings fresh water, turns salt water to fresh, and brings life wherever it goes. Again, just a wonderful description of what our lives should be in the world, carrying this flow and being this life source to others, because we bring life wherever we go. And it's not surprising that there isn't that much life if there's a stagnant pool in the middle of us that never goes anywhere. You know, it has to be flowing, and where it flows out of our depth, we flow along with it. You know, we're not in control of it. It is just, we are in it, and it's just that depth of it, it then can flow out and touch other people, which is you know, awesome, really. So anyway, there we go.
I'll say thank you.
The craziness of all this, Mike, is that you talk about things that we all have complete in us. It's just that we don't know it. It's like God's furnished an entire house, and all of us are just sitting on an empty chair somewhere is all the illumination we have, and he's lighting things little by little, and we're getting a picture of this is what he's preparing for us, and it's being revealed. You know, I go prepare a place for you, but we have no light to see what he's prepared already.
That passage in John 14 is my favorite chapter in the whole Bible. You know, it's fallen out of my Bible several times. I've had to stick it back in because I read it a lot, and I know I live it. I don't read it from the Bible anymore. It's just part of me, because it's all talking about the relationship of I am. Where I am, there you may be also. And where he was in the Father, and the Father was within him. And then they're going to come and bring that relationship into us, where we are the dwelling, where they come to dwell. And it's just an amazing description of where then the Father in me does his works through me, and the greater works of Jesus all flow out of that wonderful I am relationship that he has established by coming back from the cross and releasing us to be that habitation of God and dwelling place of God's presence in us. And I love that chapter. It's one of my, it is my all-time favorite, I think. But there we are. But it is, the illumination's coming and the experience is coming. I think that's, it's not just dry knowledge, it's personal encounter experience that I am a dwelling of God and he is in me and it's real. You know, it's not just something that says so in the book, it is real. He really is there in that dimensional place because he is a spirit and I am a spirit, and that dimensional place can contain and grow and develop from his presence there, so that it's actually therefore around me rather than contained somewhere locked up on the inside of me. I mean, Bill Johnson says that, you know, about, you know, God being locked up on the inside, you know, when he wants to be free. And it's coming into the freedom of that relational experience with him, which, you know, I love, you know. And that's why I've so enjoyed doing this whole first module, love module thing, because I've spent so much time there just going deeper and deeper and deeper and enjoying the presence of God and enjoying getting to know them in a deeper way and the revelation of that. And I've had a wonderful time, you know, and I hope other people do when they go through it and practice the engagement, because it's just the place where everything flows. Without that, there is no engagement with heaven or with God in our spirit. So, yeah.
And that module is available now?
Yeah, I released it last week. Should have had an email with it.
I thought I saw that. I'm going to have to check that now.
Yeah. The best way of engaging is I've now created a web on our website and embedded the manual into it. And that's the easiest link. It seems to work really well without sort of having to worry about running it. It's just there. You can just run it full screen and everything's there. So it's probably the best way of engaging it, I think. And I think going forward, probably that will be the way we choose to make the manual available to people through that web page. Because it seems to be more robust in working from what we've got, what we can see. But yeah, it's all there. I've done first two sections of that. You know, I am a house of God, and then first love itself. And I'm just about to release the third part of that, which is the river of life, you know. And then I'm just about to start on the yoke of Jesus. I hope people will really embrace it, because it's, for me, it's been a labor of love, because I've really enjoyed it. And I've learned a lot in engaging God there personally and intimately myself. So I know it's something that he really wants people to get hold of going forward. So yeah, there we go. Anyway.
Amen.
Okay.
Well, thank you, brother, again. Appreciate your time so much.